morning.
Good evening.
Good evening.
You're the first.
Okay.
You have any questions for tonight?
No.
Meryl?
Good evening, Meryl.
Good evening.
Do you have any questions for this evening?
Where are we?
This Wednesday night is a open-ended questions and answers class.
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, we're just waiting for a few other people and see, because Randy did say she had questions, so we'll see what they are.
Okay. Okay.
It's all quiet on the conference call.
Good to know.
Did you have a good afternoon? Did you enjoy the play?
Yeah. Except my sister and I experienced the same thing. We couldn't understand anything they said in the first half of the play. So it was a little disconcerting. But it was easy as anything to get into San Francisco. That was good. I mean, the BART, it couldn't have been easier to get in and out of San Francisco. So I'm pretty impressed.
BART has always been a good transportation system.
Yeah,
you have to learn to speak English in order to understand the first half of the play.
That's the problem. Happy birthday. You have really old ears. You can no longer hear anything. Yeah. But it was in Iraq. What?
I said that's a whole other issue.
Yeah. When I've gone to operas, I usually get the libretto, and that helps a great deal. If I had done that, I would have gotten so much more out of it. But it's okay. It was exciting and a beautiful theater, and it was an exciting thing to do.
Okay.
So, thanks. Yeah.
How are you? Are you upset about the impeachment today, or what's going on with that in Louisiana?
Well, I've been watching the last hour. I mean, we knew it was going to happen.
Right.
Are you upset?
I don't think anybody's real concerned.
I'm sorry?
Okay, you know what? I'm going to get off.
I'm sorry, when I didn't hear what you said.
I think everybody was expecting it. I mean, they knew what was going to happen. I think when more comes out with the two reports, I don't know if it'll be believable. The other side somehow manages to, you know, with the news and everything, it just doesn't seem to come out.
Well, as you know, there's a lot of lies on both sides, so. Or not lies, just, exaggeration.
No, I think we didn't realize how bad a situation was going on all these years, especially, I'd say, probably the last 20 years. I guess with technology, it just really brings it out.
It does. I heard I'm watching one of the space programs that I like. It's escapism, but there was a line in the whenever you have technology, everything changes. New technology, everything changes.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen it in the last 15 years. I hope Brandy comes.
Well, I don't know. I know about during the time that she was sick, her brother was asking her a question. And we talked about it, but I told her that was a good question to ask you. So
okay.
I don't know if that's what she wanted to talk to you about, though. So we'll see.
How's Tony doing?
He's doing pretty good. You know, the prednisone is covering up the symptoms, and they don't suspect cancer, but they're going ahead and doing the bone marrow aspiration. They're not going to do that until January the 3rd. He won't get the results till January the 30th. And then the next day, we go to Lafayette. To that doctor, you know, the specialist, and they'll tell us what they plan to do. So
right. So is he back to work, or is he still at home?
He still does it was a school crossing job. He's done that since he retired for the last 16 years.
Right.
But this year, it's the sheriff's department changed and took all the crossing guards off and put deputies in. But they asked him to do the buses at the school that's real near us. They actually didn't have anybody to do it, and they put the assistant principal, and she lasted 2 days. And they called him and asked him if he wanted to go back. So he did. So it's really easy. He doesn't have very many buses, and he's maybe out there. He's gone for about an hour, but it's about 20 minutes of work. It's real, real easy. It wasn't easy these last 16 years, but this year it's easy. In fact, today when we talked about it, I said, well, Hashem just blessed you with the last with this year being so easy. Last year, he handled both the cars and the buses. And, you know, you're out there in traffic and the weather. So, but it's good for him because it gives him an out, and it gets a little extra money for us too, so.
It's only another minute, so.
Okay.
Should I text her and see if she's coming?
Yeah, you can do that. She might have fallen asleep.
No, I thought I put people to sleep.
Well, I don't know what it is with me and Takumi Zohar. Oh, is that her?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's me.
Okay,
welcome.
We were waiting for you.
Oh, well, thank you. I tried looking up to see if it was a question that my brother had asked me that he had heard from someone else, and it was concerning the question of whether life began in the womb, or was life out after birth, is what it was. because he was asking me. And I kind of told him that what he was asking was both a physical question and a spiritual question. But he was referring to how Judaism, what they were what they believed and what they didn't. So, do you have any kind of a take on that?
Yeah, no, I've had the question before. I think I've answered it before, but let's answer it again. We learn in the advanced reincarnation class and also in the halakha that the soul moves in and out of the body, out of the fetus up until the 40th day after gestation, after impregnation. So on the 40th day, it's forbidden to have marital intercourse because that can be harmful to the process of the soul entering the fetus's body. Now, if you're asking about abortion, the issue is there's no real problem about it up until the 40th day. After the 40th day, there is a soul in the body. And so now it becomes a question of what is the correct action for the souls, the woman's soul, the mother's soul, or the fetus's soul, the future child's soul. And what the Judaism says, or really what Kabbalah says, is find yourself a bet din of Kabbalists. And these people would be able to look into what is the best action for these two souls. Because if you're talking about the woman is deciding to have an abortion because she doesn't feel she can afford the child or any of the physical social reasons that people put forward, the answer to that, the Bet Din would say no. They would say keep the child, and if you don't feel you can afford it, then put the child up for adoption, because the child belongs to whoever those parents that are adopting are. They're the ones who brought that child. They just have a tikkun relationship with the birth mother, and so that relationship would be seen by the Kabbalists on the Bet Din, on the court. So they would always say no, generally say no to if the reason that the mother wants to abort the baby has to do with, you know, physical reasons. Because there are many, you know, children are brought into this world through a birth mother, and then the child is adopted, and we know that from advanced reincarnation classes that the child actually was drawn to the parents that adopt him or her. But if there's a spiritual, if there's a medical reason, the Bet Din would solicit medical advice as to what's the medical risk to both souls, and they would also evaluate on a spiritual level what is the tikkun of both souls. So that is the answer that the Kabbalah gives. It's not this is the rule and that's what you follow. Because you're dealing with life and you're dealing with tikkun, and you have to understand what is tikkun.
Right.
So your brother probably was not going to be happy with the answer, because most people who phrase that answer, what they're asking is, you know, they have an opinion and they want that opinion upheld by the person they're asking. But that's not what Kabbalah does. It's giving you the truth from the standpoint of what is the best thing for both of these souls.
I think a lot of times...
Go ahead.
I think a lot of times, you know, you've heard the expression, poking the bear. Well, I'm the bear.
Yeah. I figured.
And a lot of times that's what my brother does, is he pokes the bear to try to get an agitated response. So I've kind of learned that that's what he does, and I try to give him, you know, okay, well, what was the agenda of this man that you heard say that? Was he positive or was he negative? And then this question is just not flat out. It deals with spiritual and physical. So I told him I'd look it up, and I don't think he wanted that answer either.
Well, yeah, I didn't have to look it up because I've been asked it many times. It's a very common question. But people really don't like the answer I give because there's no black and white answer. It's a straightforward, whatever is correct for the two souls, you know, because you have the potential where you aborted the baby, but the mother still has those health problems. Or you don't abort the baby and the mother passes in pregnancy because it's a time, or birth because it's a time of judgment. And the whole idea of the pain of childbirth, and as you know, I'm male and I never experienced it, so it's really inappropriate for me to talk about the pain of childbirth. But that is the curse from Hashem to women. That's why it's painful. You have painful periods, and some women have less painful periods and some more painful periods, and it's really related to the tikkun and where they were in the soul of Chava and how that interrelates. And so the pain of a period or the pain of childbirth, this is a period of judgment. And there's no problem with a period of judgment if you're pure, if you're cleansed. Then there's really nothing to worry about, and you're going to get a wonderful birth. But for the most people, we can never be sure that we're pure. And so you always have those issues. But that's what the Bet Din of three Kabbalists, because they are able to peer into the future to see what the result is, what is supposed to happen to this child and this mother, these souls, what is the tikkun between the two, and how it's supposed to come out. And, you know, they have the tools like the asking dream questions and so forth to know what should be done.
Well, I think like you said earlier in the Zohar class that you build your vessel, and what you could take, what you couldn't take last year, you can take this year. And I think a lot with listening to the reincarnation classes and the other Zohar classes and stuff like that, I've changed a lot. My vessel's changed a lot. And things that you say, like everything you said now, makes perfect sense. Where, you know, years back, it would kind of be like, well, I'll take that with a grain of salt. And it does make a difference. Makes a difference.
That it does. Kana, do you have any questions?
Well, I have a question, but it's not. It's pertaining to the classes.
That's fine.
We'd like to get together the afternoon and night of Zod Hanukkah, and I was wondering, and you know, it would be you know, how we travel from afar. We've got Brandy and Malka and Judy and several other, you know, a couple of other ladies that, even though they aren't actually in the classes, they still come and they still ask. And I pass on the Rosh Kodesh handouts to them and things like that. In other words, they're kind of in the background. And we usually get together, you know, for holidays and all. And I, that would be the only time that I could have them over with Tony having his procedures and everything. And so I was wondering if you were planning to do the nightly, what would you say, the ritual, I guess. And were you planning anything that night of Zod Hanukkah?
Well, there's no specific ritual for Zod Hanukkah other than to explain what it is. There's Rosh Chodesh the day or two beforehand.
Okay, but you have a nightly, I know because I printed and I do it every year, but I didn't remember if we did it as a class or if it was just on our own. It was probably just on our own. But, and I know on Sunday night we usually don't meet. And I wondered if that Sunday, would you be having class that Sunday? Because that, you know, I wouldn't want to interfere with that.
Well, first off, it wouldn't be a problem. On Zod Hanukkah, I would normally have, it's on Sunday, so I would normally have the two classes that I normally do. But if you wanted me to do a third class, I could.
Okay. My first thought was, they've asked me about the handouts on the menorah psalm, so I thought I could print some of those and we could spend a little time on that when we got together. And then after sundown, you know, we can all light our Hanukkahs, our Hanukkahs. And if you would want to do something with us, we could do that. I'd love to
do that. That would be fine. There's some material that I'm trying to get put together before Hanukkah. The Ari has two different essays about Hanukkah, and one's quite long. So if you wanted to tie the advanced, instead of doing the 3 o'clock or the, you know, for you, the 5 o'clock advanced reincarnation, if we just did a 2 hour class or 2.5 hour class for the writings of the Ari about Hanukkah. And it's very intriguing. And then we could do the candle lighting as well as, you know, however long it would take to do that Ari class, as well as the what you're calling the menorah meditation. It's better to be doing the what's called the Ner meditation when you light Hanukkah candles. And Ner is the Hebrew word for candle. So I've been putting that together as well. I mean, we covered it the last two Sundays. But I would have to put it together with the actual blessing of the candles. So
I would still have it together. Okay, I know about that. It's just that I just thought when they got here that I could, you know, give them the handouts and explain, because we may not see each other for quite a while, and it'll be used at counting the Omer. So it was just a, you know, it wouldn't take me very long to do that and give them their handouts. But I also have.
I have no problem if you would like me to, you know, not do the I'll do the afternoon class, the 10:30 class. But the 3 o'clock class, I can cancel and let you girls have your women's event. So I don't need to be there if you don't. If I'm not saying I don't want to be there. No. I would be happy to be there. But by the same token, I also know that this is really a group that you guys have been friends for a long time, and having this male voice could be interfering with that. So I'll take my cue from you. If you want me to do something, I will. And if you don't, it's okay. I'm not going to take it personally.
No, I would like you to do something that would have to do with Zot Hanukkah, which would, you know, and the lighting of the candles. I just didn't know if you were going to do a regular class at that time with lighting the candles. And I didn't, you know, which I can set up the phone, and everybody has a phone and they have headsets, you know, so I don't think we'd have a problem with hearing. We're usually between 7 and 9 ladies.
That's fine. And that would be about what time, your time?
Well, I thought, I know Brandy and Judy would probably spend the night. The other ladies, I think by that time, Michael will have her car. But she doesn't live that far, and a couple of the others don't live that far. And then I'm not sure yet, you know, who's going to come. I'm just, right now, I'm just saying tentatively.
I'm flexible at the time. So, I would be willing to do something that Sunday night.
Okay, well, it gets dark here about 5:15. By 5:15, it's dark.
Well,
and that would be what, before your time?
No, 5 o'clock your time is 7 my time.
Oh, okay. I thought we were just 1 hour apart.
You're right, it's 1 hour. So 5 your time would be 6 my time.
Okay, is that a bad time for you?
What I have to do is I'm lighting candles here at 7 p.m. Eastern, which is 6 your time. And that's, I have to do it in another room where I have a group of people that come and will be lighting candles every night. So I'd like to not combine the two.
Right.
But we could do, you know, the candle lighting at 7 will be over by 8. So that's 7 your time.
I think that would be good.
If 7 your time would work, then, you know, and then it could be an hour and a half or 2 hour class. I'm just not sure exactly how it'll be. But I would discuss Zot Hanukkah. I would discuss the Nair meditation. I would demonstrate. We'd do the candle lighting, and I would demonstrate the meditations within the candle lighting bracha.
Okay. Now, if you let me know which ones, then I'll have the handouts printed for them.
I'm not ready to do that yet, but by Monday I should be able to. So you'd have a week to be able to
that would be okay. That you can have longer than that. Okay, we'll talk about it a little bit later in the week. I think we'll have a better idea.
Understood.
Of who's coming and who's not, but even if it's just Brandy and Judy and I, we would want you to do it anyway, if that would be okay
fine.
With you.
I don't know how late
Malka's already said count her in. So I know for sure the others I'm not quite sure of. One has not, I haven't called yet. And so... We'll talk about it.
The Ari's material is a little bit esoteric for somebody who's not, you know, prepared for it. Because, you know, the language is all about the names of the Sephiroth and how they move against each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I think by the time that night, maybe some of the ones who really don't, either they won't be here, you know, they won't come, there'll be some reason. That's what we've seen every other time. Like last Mexico, one wanted to bring a person who knew nothing was a Christian, and I was kind of concerned, but it ended, you know, I didn't want to say anything, and it ended up fine. That person didn't come. And
That's the protection shield of this generation that I spoke about earlier today.
Right.
That's exactly how it works. You know, we don't have to worry about it because if they're not supposed to hear it, they won't.
Right. Okay. All right. By the Nair meditation, you mean the one where you leave out shell in the blessing?
Well, you leave out shell in the Hanukkah blessing anyway, but the Nair meditation is on the word lihadlik.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We went over the last two Sundays. I brought it in with where you're...
Oh, the Nikudim. Okay.
Right. Where you're doing the Shalu with Elohim. When you do it with the Echie and Hashem, Elohim and Hashem, and Adonai and Hashem.
Okay. I've already got those. I've got 13 of those in a chart form.
Okay.
They were from... some handout years ago I got from Rabbi Zadok. And
right.
I have 13 of them. I think I've already given Judy and Brandy a couple of years ago a copy. But anyway, I made more copies last year. And I found today in my little drawer that I actually had 13 and I had them laminated and everything. So it would go right with the handout. See, most of them don't have access to a computer. They're using their phones. And so, you know, having the handouts is a help to them. So that would work out well. Okay. And I think the others would go home if I had them come, like, maybe at 3 in the afternoon. Because we have a meal and we eat and enjoy each other's company as well. And if they're willing to stay till 7, we're fine. It'll like we said, if they're supposed to be here for that, we will. But
we'll
talk later in the week, you and I, and I'll just give them a time in the afternoon. And,
right.
What
we're saying now is that 7 o'clock your time is when we would start with me.
Right. Okay. Now, what should I do in the case? Does that mean we could light candles twice if we do it at 5 when it's dark with some that have to leave?
You can light candles with the blessing one time. But you can light candles as often as you want without it.
Okay. But
so
if
the people who are leaving early could light the blessings, and the people who were going to stay could decide to light, but without a blessing. And then, we would all do the blessing later together.
Okay. All right. Okay, sounds good. Okay, so I'm going to put tentatively 7 and believe that all will go well so we can meet.
The other thing is, I could also bring up, because 2 weeks later we're going to be in the Shelvavim period. So I don't know if you want me to bring that up with the women as well.
I think probably the not this time. I mean, we could always schedule another.
Right. So that's right. But well, the Shelvavim, once they understand it, it's basically reading Psalms, and that can be really powerful.
Oh, well, that's true. We've gone to the Psalms, yes, and everybody loves the Psalms. Okay.
And I don't know if you're if you've ever done the Psalms where you literally read them together, or you read them in sequentially. And the sequential I'm talking about is one person reads one Psalm and then another person reads another Psalm. That's what I mean by sequential. Or you can all read them together.
Okay.
So that's really the, you know, but you can think about that, because in 2 weeks after Zohar, we end up in the Shelvavim.
Okay. Well, see, our main reason of getting together is to introduce them to Yishim and to you know, to the Yishim website and Kabbalah and Zohar, and, you know, so you're very much involved with what goes on. So, and I think there's only maybe one or two that don't actually, that they're going to be completely new if they come. And I know for sure one will come.
Okay. So we'll talk later this week and confirm it up.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. All right, Brandy, thank you for your question.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay.
You have a good evening, both of you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening. Shalom.